what's important is serendipity. Like, have a schedule, but also set aside some time to just walk around. It is just so important, because I think trade shows are really also not just, you know, business, but there's the sight, the sound, the smell, the feel. There's some kind of magic about a trade show where if you're just kind of walking around, something good will happen.
Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the number one voice of supply chain. Join us as we share critical news, key insights, and real supply chain leadership from across the globe, one conversation at a time.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luden with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Folks, we welcome back to the show an old friend and an industry leader in the global supply chain trade show industry. Hey, you could say this space has evolved tremendously in recent years, right? Just like global supply chain itself. However, some leading organizations have managed to consistently provide the best opportunities for supply chain professionals to learn, gather market intel, network, and enjoy the camaraderie of their global colleagues. And today, we'll gain the perspective of an executive leader from an organization that arguably does all that as good as anyone else in the market. So folks, stick around for a great conversation that will offer up some great insights on a couple of leading events out across the global supply chain trade show space. So I want to welcome in a wonderful guest joining me here today. Daniel McKinnon brings almost 35 years of exhibitions industry leadership to the table. No, he won't look like it. You got to take my word for it. In 2024, he was named Chief Exhibitions Officer with MHI, which is the organization behind both ProMat and MODEX. Both of these venerable events draw tens of thousands of industry professionals, and both are ranked among the top 25 U.S. trade shows by both Trade Show News Network and Trade Show Executive. Now, MODEX, of course, has been based in our home market of Atlanta for years, I think since 2012, and the event here in 2026, it might draw close to 40,000 attendees. How about that? You're going to enjoy Daniel's perspective here today. So I want to welcome in my friend, Daniel McKinnon, Chief Exhibitions Officer with MHI. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. I'm very excited to be here and speaking with you about one of my favorite topics, supply chain and trade shows.
Well, same. We have enjoyed both collaborating with you over the years and watching you and the MHI team continue to serve global industry. I mentioned all those things that are great opportunities for folks, both at ProMat and MODEX, but we'll probably touch on this. There's also terrific opportunities plugging in the MHI year-round in between those events. So appreciate the great service y'all do to industry. But before we talk about all that, Daniel, I want to explore one thing. When you're not moving mountains in the industry space, one thing you love to do, and that is the game of golf. Now, Daniel, we're talking pre-show. In the little bit of time you have on the weekends, you spend a good chunk of time chasing a white ball around the golf course, huh?
I do. I love it and I hate it at the same time. I cannot get better. I'm like a 20 handicap, but I enjoy being outside. I enjoy, you know, having a couple of beers with my friends. It's just something that I've really grown to appreciate, the aesthetics of the golf course and the mental health benefits to me, even though sometimes I get really frustrated by it. But yeah, I absolutely love it.
Outstanding. So big gains mentally, big gains physically, being outside, getting fresh air, enjoying fellowship with your friends. Let me ask you this, and gosh, a 20 handicaps, that's three times as good as me. What's been one of your favorite personal golf highlights over the years?
A lot, because I'm lucky that I get to play some amazing, amazing courses through work and then also, you know, on holiday with my family and friends. I make a point of trying to play these spectacular PGA courses. But I think one recent one is, and I'm not a member, but I was playing Eastlake and we had the full cultural layout. We did breakfast and in the locker room and I was playing with a couple of Atlanta bigwigs. I was so nervous. I got out there on the first hole and just striked it down the middle, put it right on the green. Everybody else is off both sides, you know, and these are players. I missed my putt, but I parred the first hole and they're all just going crazy about it because it's not an easy course. Yeah, it was all downhill from there. But I got up to like a 105. But I will never forget that. I'll never forget the look on their faces.
Right, right.
And me just acting all nonchalant. Nope, yeah. But oh, that's four. Put me down for four. But they don't play golf. Well, I guess really understand that. But it was a thrill. It was like riding a roller coaster the first time you go down the hill and you start going back up, and it was a thrill.
Oh, I love it. I love it. East Lake is historically, I mean, it's a big name across the golf course landscape. And hey, to par that, even that first hole, even no matter how the rest of your round went, no doubt a highlight you'll forever remember. All right, one last question along these lines, because I was doing some homework for our interview today, and I knew we kind of overlapped with our journeys here in Georgia and South Carolina, and I didn't notice that you are an alum of Presbyterian, the home of the mighty Blue Hose, Daniel. Is that right?
The Blue Hose, the Harvard of the South. They call Harvard the Presbyterian of the North. It was a great experience. Yeah, it's a wonderful place, and I am an alumni. I'm a Blue Hose.
Outstanding. Presbyterian College in my home state of South Carolina. So I want to get into, as we start getting into the story of Modex, what's new for this year, as it's coming up April 13th through the 16th, 2026. So folks, write that down. It's free to attend. Write that down. And again, they're going to welcome close to 40,000 attendees this year. But let's talk about the organization behind Modex, MHI. So tell us first, Daniel, about your role as Chief Exhibitions Officer at MHI.
So MHI is a nonprofit trade association in the supply chain space. It really focuses on intralogistics inside of the distribution center, inside the warehouse. We do have members that are 3PLs and people that are offering, you know, they're offering other types of supply chain services, but we really focus on the tremendous proliferation of the distribution center around the world. It's a North American-based trade show, but we now have members all over. You know, some of the most important topics that we address, other than market access through our trade shows, are standards. We offer standards across the various industry group committees that are part of our association. And then safety and workforce are very important for us, you know, knowledge of the industry, and us trying to encourage anyone how amazing and dignified this industry is. One of the core missions for us right now is to try to train and develop workforce into this industry, not just inside the distribution center, but across all supply chain. And that's working with trade schools as well as universities. It's not all engineers. It's qualified labor. That's really important for us. Standards are very important for us. And then talking about how important the industry is to federal, local, municipal, it is a critical driver of economic development. And that is very important for us to make sure everybody's aware of that. We do not do public policy. We do not do any lobbying in Washington. We are a trade association and not involved in politics.
Okay. We need more supply chain leaders up in D.C. is my hunch. So maybe that's an opportunity down the road. All right. So if I heard you correctly, I appreciate you sharing about MHI's mission, industry scope. I love some of those big themes I heard about safety, workforce, standards, economic development. Now, your role as CEO, Chief Exhibitions Officer, I probably take that you play a big role in developing programming and a lot of your industry relationships. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, when we build out these massive exhibitions, the thing that we take most into consideration is our members. And our members are manufacturers and software developers and 3PLs, but mostly manufacturers of equipment that go into the distribution center. And you're talking now, I mean, it used to be, and it still is, a lot of racks, pallets, and forklifts and conveyor belts. But now you see a lot of robots and automated guided vehicles and a lot of automation. As a matter of fact, that's really been kind of the core growth in the industry right now, as far as MHI is concerned, is that automation, that robotics, that efficiency. And part of that is a result of workforce challenges. I mean, if you can't find a welder, you can find a robot.
So true. And I'll tell you, folks, you kind of heard Daniel describe what some things you're going to see at Modex and ProMat. And if you really love supply chain, if you really love manufacturing, automation, innovation, you name it, it's like Modex is like the circus. It's like a big supply chain circus. It's amazing to see what you see each year at MODEX and ProMat. Daniel, you've already spoken to this, but I want to ask you outright. When I think of the why, you know, the why MHI, the why MODEX matters to the global supply chain ecosystem. When I think of the, you know, the standard safety, workforce, economic development, the exchange of market intel and innovation and ideas, how would you answer that? Why does it matter? Why does it matter, Daniel?
One of the primary reasons is the scale of MODEX provides an opportunity, you know, once a year, MODEX and ProMat, but MODEX in Atlanta, for 4 days, you're able to see so much technology, so many solution providers. Not only that, the knowledge component, the education component is vast. If you look at the keynote speakers we have, those are kind of inspirational speakers, but we have over 200 sessions on the show floor that deal directly with solutions, with providing solutions to challenges that are faced by those people in the supply chain industry. Now, they are not sales pitches. We regulate it. They are sponsored, but they are not sales pitches. We require that they have a practitioner that is discussing a solution that perhaps their product or service helped with. We do not want sales pitches. People wouldn't go to them, but those are packed. Those are 200 sessions over 4 days are packed with the attendees. You can't do that. It would take you a year to do that, more than a year. In addition, over 1,100 exhibiting companies, mostly manufacturers of equipment for the distribution center. But if you think about the actual size of the show, it's some of those companies like Raymond are taking, 8,000 square feet of exhibit space. I don't know who's familiar with the Georgia World Congress Center, but we're the largest event in Atlanta. The Atlanta Business Chronicle said we were the largest live event. And if you look at the Georgia World Congress, we are wall to wall, every meeting room, every square foot of the exhibit floor, all the ballrooms, we take all of it. And in addition, around the city with over 50,000, hotel nights, room nights, all the hotels, all the primary hotels around the city are filled with supply chain professionals that are there to network, to see new products, to learn about technologies and trends. I think the scale is probably the most important thing, and bringing everybody together once a year for this event just gives, a platform to multiple different organizations to engage with each other and talk about mutual issues, concerns, and solutions.
That's right. And folks, you may be thinking out there, some of our wonderfully intelligent audience members, that here in the digital era, is there a lesser emphasis of in-person trade shows? I would argue it's just the opposite. Despite the fact that we can do a lot of homework with all the data at our fingertips, I heard someone speak about this the other day. The speed and scale, some things that Daniel's talking about, when you walk the floor of a facility the size of the Georgia World Congress Center at a MODEX, and your eye is taking in new things, new innovations, you're having conversations with people, what's happening, at least in my experience over 20 years of doing trade shows, in-person trade shows, is things get placed on your radar that have been in your blind spot. And then you leave the show after all the conversations and the learnings, then you can dive deeper on your due diligence and see if ABC solution or relationship can benefit your business. So
100%. Scott, I have some research on that. And obviously, it was done by a third party, not by us. Of course, it would be self-serving if we did it. But a third party, and this is very contemporary information, that the trust levels that people used to have in government and media, and you're not media, I think you're new age media, but that used to be the top, government, media, those were the top rated trust. I trust this. I trust to get my information from this. Those are at the bottom now. Also, because of AI, digital information, websites, all that, nobody can trust that. I might not be me. I'm really not this handsome. This is AI, Daniel. But you wouldn't know that. You would have no idea. Well, you could probably figure it out. Face-to-face live events are the most trustworthy resource. And this includes the younger generation. In fact, the younger generation trusts live events more than boomers. So I think that if you want to really engage with somebody or an organization, live events is by far the best way to do it, because that's what you can trust. If you're looking at somebody in the eye, if you're shaking their hand, they're not AI, and hopefully you can tell they're not BSing you.
That's right. So come on, folks. We're going to invite you a couple times to this interview here, but come on to Atlanta. You're going to love MODEX, April 13th through the 16th at the Georgia World Congress Center, and bring your walking shoes. You're going to need them. because of all the opportunities and exhibits and programming and people, best part. So Daniel, let's talk about how MODEX has evolved over time. As I mentioned on the front end, I think you've been in Atlanta since 2012. You got kind of several veins of speakers, but celebrities and leaders, entertainers, Shaquille O'Neal, Peyton Archie Manning, Nick Saban, and then some have been at MODEX. And then you got lots of real industry leaders that are speaking from supply chain leadership, manufacturing leadership track records. And we've got some wonderful ones this year. But how would you answer the question how MODEX has evolved over time?
I think that we have evolved as the industry has evolved. In 2012, it was a good size show. It was 400 exhibitors, and I think we had 15,000 attendees. And that's an estimate, but it's grown exponentially. And the real growth catalyst, I believe, I don't think it's because of the pandemic, but when people started expecting their delivery overnight, like the e-commerce boom, which continues. To get something reliably through a warehouse, to get it to the warehouse, to get it through the warehouse, to get it to the door, to get to the final destination, the last mile, the technology involved in upgrading the efficiencies of the warehouse, our trade shows have gone through the roof because of that. And also, one other more contemporary and more recent issue is, China has dominated so much of what we do for so long. And maybe this isn't new, but maybe it's just really caught on that the whole reshoring and look, we need to look to, and I hope that we'll be friends again, but we need to look to Mexico and Canada and to our own selves and to North Dakota and to Maine and to California. We have the resources to create this great infrastructure, supply chain infrastructure. And I think that's also helped our show grow. In fact, many European and Asian companies, Chinese included, the Chinese are banging down the door. They're building here. Atlanta has benefited from international corporate headquarters for supply chains and even manufacturing facilities along the 85 corridor have really benefited. The Port of Savannah has been a huge catalyst. This region is booming. People want their stuff. They want it on time. They want it reliably. They want it safely. It's an employer. It's fantastic. I mentioned economic development, but more than that, when you talk about food and materials and medicine, why aren't we bringing it here and putting it in distribution here and getting it to your door in Decatur, Georgia overnight or within a week instead of having to wait and unreliable and all of that? So I think that's been a huge part of the growth of MODEX. In addition, I think if you look, and it doesn't matter who's in office, and I think state and municipal matters a lot more than federal, but our economy continues to grow and excel. And we've had hiccups here and there, but since 2012, my goodness, I think your average American is doing better and doing well and taking care of their family. And we want consumer goods, we want medicine, we want food, and we want it safely, reliably, and quickly. And that has been the biggest boom for MODEX.
Well, and what's in our, and I appreciate you mentioning not only how MODEX has evolved and continued to grow, but some of the regional and really global themes. But what is truly inarguable is supply chain leaders, industry leaders, continue to reinvent how we get business done. Yeah. And, that information, those insights, those ideas, those case studies come from many, many different sources. But again, don't take it from me and not even Daniel. Go do your homework. One of the best channels for finding new ways, proven ways of finding more success in these incredibly disruptive times is through great resources like MODEX. So let's talk about Daniel. What's different about this year's MODEX? MODEX 2026 coming up in April here in Atlanta. What sticks out to you?
I talk about face-to-face being important, but we use technology to help enable our attendees and our exhibitors to engage with each other. We have systems through our mobile app and through what we call My Show Planner, which really facilitate not only the education of the attendee, but also the scheduling. It's just gotten so sophisticated now. Everybody's using AI, and we do use AI for this as well. But we use it on a practical sense so that we can determine who's meeting with who. Our exhibitors are really not interested in talking to people that are trying to sell them something. They're interested in talking to Amazon and Target and Walmart and Fortune 500 companies and Johnson & Johnson and people that want to move things through their warehouse. That's who they want to talk to. And this facilitates that tremendously. This helps really get the right person in front of the right exhibitor. In addition, I think that, and you talked about how industry leaders need to do things differently. The education that's available that this platform provides is significant. I think I mentioned the keynotes. They're more inspirational, like Richard McPhail, the CFO for Home Depot. I want to listen to that. I really would. Even if I wasn't involved in this business, I would want to listen to that. Over the past couple of years, we have been talking about AI a lot, and Salim Ismail is he's somebody that can really talk about it in practical terms and technology in practical terms. Dale Earnhardt's cool. That'll be fun and interesting and a good way to get your Wednesday morning started. But then I think most relevant, and this is where I really wanted to go, because we talked about, you talked about how these industry leaders need to adapt and change. Well, every year MHI comes out with our annual industry report, and it is top trends and innovations that are coming forward into the industry that we identify several different trends. We work with Deloitte and several academic groups, institutions, including the amazing Georgia Tech. We identify these trends for the supply chain industry, and then we present them. This is when it's launched, and this is available to any of our members. And if somebody wants a copy, I'll send them a copy. I don't have the one for this year yet, but it's coming. So it identifies it, and then they talk about it in a panel session with some experts, including somebody from Deloitte, including our CEO, John Paxton. And that really kind of opens people's eyes. We go about doing this with our economist, who's he's Bloomberg. He's like number one Bloomberg ranked economist. He's fantastic. And we had all assumed that, you know, AI was going to be the top trend. AI, AI, AI. That's all you hear about these days. Well, it's not. Workforce was the top trend. So that's the number one thing that people are trying to address right now. We all thought that sustainability was really important. Well, that fell out of the top 10. Sustainability is not as important as it once was. There's just several interesting topics that they discussed during this session. It's on Wednesday. And then I mentioned already the 200 solutions sessions that are on the show theater. It's education. There's a women in supply chain with some significant leaders. And then there's a student day, again, to address the workforce issue. We really embrace not just the engineer at the university. We really embrace the technical schools, the training schools. We need qualified labor in this business. And that's how we're trying to help support that.
So true. The workforce piece we constantly hear about. You know, if you talk to any business leader out there, supply chain leader, for that matter, in even a broader sense, workforce is top of mind, and we're seeing challenges at all. You think of the wide spectrum of valuable human workers, right? From folks that come from colleges, folks that, you know, come right out of high school. We need, and all things in between, we need all of them at all various experience levels and expertise levels.
And I don't understand it. I hear, you know, unemployment went up and new jobs created. Well, Toyota, who I mentioned earlier, who's Toyota Material Handling, who's a member and the CEO is on our board, they have thousands of open positions across the country. Thousands. If you want a job, a high-paying job with great benefits, you can get one. So we just need to communicate that to people.
And that's the, I hate to sound like a simpleton here, but awareness is still, it's a timeless challenge. And we've got to continue to innovate the ways we communicate to all generations too, no matter where they are in their journey. And I love that y'all have a student day, because, you know, that might sound like a website to some people, but still, the fact that you're investing in a student day and, providing those engagement opportunities and awareness creation opportunities, it's really important.
I was just going to say, there's hundreds of students that come to that and dozens of universities.
Folks, that's a great hiring, you know, it's a great talent pipeline building opportunity.
100%.
All right. So Daniel mentioned a couple speakers this year, 2026, and I wanted to add a couple. And by the way, I hope Dale Earnhardt, with all the talk of velocity in industry and global supply chain, I hope he really has baked that into his theme in his keynote. We'll see. But Annette Denek, I might get this wrong, folks, but Annette Denek Akey, Chief Supply Chain Officer with Barnes & Noble, she's speaking. My dear friend and the dynamo, Dr. Stephanie Thomas from the University of Arkansas, is speaking on a great panel that's entitled Rewiring the Future, a Supply Chain Playbook for Innovation. Check that out. There's a million reasons to go.
We have an industry night where we have, you know, our members, but everybody's welcome. We always have an MC and comedian, and they're usually pretty good. We've had Colin Jost, and who's the Tennessee kid? They're always clean. Well, Colin wasn't completely clean, but the guy that's real popular now, that he never cusses, and his wife's always harassing him, and he just made a new movie. Oh gosh, I can't think of him now. This year is Jim Gaffigan, who I think is hilarious. So join us on Wednesday night if you want to hear Jim Gaffigan make fun of supply chain.
You and the rest of the world. Jim Gaffigan, I think, makes everybody laugh. Nate Bargatze?
That's exactly. Yes.
Okay.
He was great. He was 2 years ago or 4 years ago. But we had Colin Jost 2 years ago, and Colin Jost really slayed with the supply chain jokes. It's funny how it's not funny, but it's funny how someone can talk about a warehouse and make it sound, you know, entertaining.
Well, Daniel, you know, it is. But the thing is, all those folks kind of from outside industry, they make us laugh, but they also depend on everything global supply chain does every 100%. Single hour. But regardless, hey, we got to have a sense of humor, especially in some of the challenging times we're living and leading through. And Jim Gaffigan, he's a home run addition to the program. And I don't know, he spoke entertained a couple of years ago, I think, right?
Yeah, several years ago. He's bigger now. He's more expensive now, but that's okay.
Okay.
We believe those investments into the keynotes and those are legitimate, and we're a not-for-profit, so it's not like we're going to bank it. We're going to spend it on trying to make the experience for our attendees and our members better.
Yep. Fellowship's important. All right, so growth in exhibitors, attendance, and the diversity of solutions. You mentioned earlier some rough estimates of what the event in 2012 was. I think you said roughly, again, folks, 400 exhibitors and roughly 15,000 attendees. What does that look like? What does that growth look like this year, Daniel?
So we were only in one hall. We were just in the C hall, not the full C hall in 2012. Now we're like I mentioned earlier, we are the full facility. Every square inch of that Georgia World Congress Center, plus the Signia Hotel, the Omni Hotel, all the surrounding areas is Modex. And we're completely sold out of exhibit space. But we will have a little over 1,100 exhibiting companies. And that's just the exhibitors. That represents about 630,000 net square feet. Now, that does include all the additional stuff we have on the show floor, like the theaters and the lounges. So that's significant. And then we do expect around 40,000 attendees to show up, and it's a world-class event. Also on the show floor, in addition to the exhibitors, you'll see several experiential activations. And what that is are just kind of fancy lounges. And one of the biggest complaints we get is that the attendees have nowhere to sit down or to have a decent meal. Nobody wants to eat, the rubber pizzas, all the time. So we have created spaces throughout the show floor for our attendees to have a moment of repose, to have a good meal. I'm not just saying that. Chick-fil-A, I think, is good, but it's Chick-fil-A and it's other solid and cooked meals and healthy options. But we have something called the Peachtree Social. Looks like a really cool kind of a mixture of a Southern bar restaurant and like a Dave and Buster's. It's not like all Dave and Buster'd up, but we've got like a golf simulator and a foosball tables and, stuff like that. And then we also have the backyard, which is in C Hall, which is a more upscale lounge, but we have puppy petting. 4 days is a long time to be walking around a trade show floor. So we need to have some opportunities for a recharging, a reevaluation of what the next steps are, meeting with your team. We do have some happy hours that go on. We have a startup pavilion, and we do kind of, I don't want to violate any intellectual property, but we do kind of a Shark Tank type of competition, and we give a cash prize to the best startup. We have a happy hour that we launch and go into. That's on Tuesday afternoon at 4:00, and that's in Hall A. There's a lot of that going on all over the show floor. And the best way to figure it all out is to use the My Show Planner to schedule everything. And you'll see all the different options. It's endless.
You shared a lot there, but two things stick out. A couple things, but two I want to comment on. Number one, that Southern restaurant, all that Southern food fair, I'm going to be there and I'm going to judge the collard greens. I'm going to judge the cornbread and,
peach ice cream.
Peach ice cream, but also Amanda calls them butter beans. I call them lima beans. Oh man, some Tabasco. I'm going to judge all that.
Chow chow on top of that.
That's right.
You got to go full south.
And then secondly, I got to keep it real here, Daniel. I struggle with event apps. I don't know if you do. I can get overwhelmed. I look forward to checking out the current evolution of the app for Modex and see if it can make life easier.
You are not the only one. The last ProMat, I think we had just over 50% usage. And I cannot understand that, because the app is the same provider. It's the same platform we use. They're called Map Your Show. They're fantastic. But they do our website. It's the same thing. There's no difference, but it's mobile ready. It's easier to use. And it has things like wayfinders. Like if you want to say, how do I get to the Premier Club Lounge? Oh, you know, it maps it out for you. You know, what's the next keynote? Oh, it's this at this time. You can set up your schedule on it. You can do so much with it. But, you know, I get it. I don't like sitting there doing this. You know, I'm a hard copy guy. You look at me on the show side, I'm carrying around like a big old, you know, notebook, and I got all the papers in it. And, you know, everybody's laughing at me. Grandpa's got his papers with him.
So. All right. And folks, if you do see Daniel McKinnon on the show floor, make sure you introduce yourself. And I bet, knowing Daniel, I bet he'll look to be getting some feedback from you. He is well known for soliciting feedback from exhibitors, attendees, whoever he meets as he's walking and managing a really big trade show floor.
And if you see me at Rathburn's or Bones or at the Lobster Bar or at Hal's, then let me buy you a martini or a non-alcoholic beverage, whichever you prefer. But say hi to me.
Okay. I love it. You're going to have folks tracking you down, geo-tracking you via the app.
That's a little scary, but creepy. That's all right.
All right. So let's get into some practical advice for folks. And I want to tackle this from a couple different perspectives, Daniel. When you think of, and I hate to call it like an ideal profile, because I know you got a wide range of folks that come out and get value, but who do you think stands the most to get value from attending MODEX?
So that's a great question. I think it's a diverse crowd. I hate to use specific brands, but like our biggest attendee groups are from Amazon, Target, Walmart, big Fortune 500 companies, manufacturers that have big warehouses, and they're trying to get things around the world, around the country. That's the number one attendee category. We have executive programs, but the people come to buy solutions. People come to buy. This is a commercial show. This is a market access trade show. So the people that do have these distribution centers all over the country, even 3PLs that have distribution centers everywhere, they need to, you know, to upgrade. They need to make it more efficient. They need to automate. They need to buy new forklifts or racking, conveyors. All those products that go into the distribution center, people that are specifying, you know, your warehouse operations manager, or some of the names I just mentioned, your supply chain officer, your COO, the people that really want to see what's new, or I have a specific solution requirement in mind, they go there. A lot of it's preset appointments. A lot of the booths now from the larger exhibitors are kind of, you'll see a second level, and they're kind of walled off. They've got a hospitality area up there, and that's where they bring their pre-appointments up there to talk terms and conditions and negotiations and schedules and timelines. We provide the exhibitors with lead retrieval opportunities. So everybody's got a badge, and we verify the information on there. Every exhibitor is able to either set a pre-appointment or on-site, able to identify the attendee and engage directly with them. We do welcome everybody, but what we do discourage is people selling their products and services to the exhibitors on-site. And it's prohibited. We sort of look the other way because these exhibitors they're big boys and girls, and they can say, no, thank you. We're not trying to push anybody away. And it's just as important for somebody that's selling their freight services to be educated as it is for one of the customers. The most significant category, I would say, are people that are specifying or managing or trying to identify solutions within the distribution center. That's the key category for us. And there's a lot of that, by the way. People don't know of this. They're unaware. But when you fly into like Dallas, Fort Worth, or you fly into Atlanta, and you look down, in Atlanta, you see a lot of trees, but most big airports, you just see warehouses stretching for miles, miles. If you ever been down to Savannah near the port, just warehouse after warehouse after warehouse. There's thousands of them. And those warehouses, they're not empty. They're moving materials around. And so that's what this show is for.
Yep. Lots of cargo in the bellies of those passenger planes.
Yes.
At the busiest airports around the world. So let's do this, Daniel. Let's paint a picture. You've got the captive audience of a slew of first-time attendees at MODEX 2026, right? Maybe they're mid-bite through a delicious lunch, or maybe they're on the way home after a tough day of work and they're listening to the podcast in the car, looking for tips from industry leaders, and they're curious about advice for attending MODEX for the first time. What would be your been-there-done-that advice be, Daniel?
The obvious thing is the comfortable shoes because it's so large. But the not obvious thing is you need to make the time because this is good for your career. You may not be going there to buy something specifically, but the amount of knowledge that you can capture while you are at MODEX is really undefinable. It's just gigantic. And networking, the same way, your professional development. You know, if you want to see people, meet people, hear people in the industry, see what the next trends are and understand what the next trends are, you've got to make time to do this. It doesn't cost anything. It's free of charge. You just have to be qualified to get in. You know, we make sure that the people coming in are in our business. And then once you have committed to go, once you have registered, schedules are so important. It's too big not to schedule. There's so many shows around this great country of ours that are either in supply chain or touch supply chain. You can walk around them in a half a day or less. This is not that. And I will say we don't focus as much on education as some other conferences. You know, we're not a conference. We are a trade show. You're going to get education, but what's more important than education is the on-show floor demonstrations of equipment. You will see equipment on the show floor. You'll see fully automated guided vehicles, mobile robots. You will see full automated conveyor systems and picking systems, retrieving and picking systems. You'll see these in operating, functioning from companies around the world. And that in itself is just a fascinating experience and at the same time, extraordinarily helpful to anybody that's in this business for their career and just for their general knowledge.
Here's some other advice for first-time attendees, especially if you're outside of the great city of Atlanta. You better book now. Book hotel now, book yes. plane ticket now, and a show this big. First off, Daniel knows the distinctions between a conference and a trade show much better than me. But when I think of industry events like MODEX, you see a wide range of fees. Some fees are like $5,000 to attend. To be able to attend an event like MODEX for free, especially the size and the scope and the scale, not number one, especially if you're early in your journey, it's a great learning opportunity, great networking, great market intel gathering, but plan your days. You need to download the map, look at the exhibitors, look at all the programming, and you got to target, because if you don't, you're going to meander and you're going to miss so much of what you're really most interested in learning about. And it's just the sheer size of it. So plan ahead, travel wise, your day, your working days, plan ahead what you want to see, who you want to talk to, who you want to hear from. And that's going to help you get the most out of your MODEX experience. So
it's easy to get to Atlanta because of our airport, our great Atlanta airport. But go to our website to get your hotel room. It's discounted and it's part of our block. And we run shuttles all the way around the city, all the way up to Buckhead through Midtown. We run shuttles that will bring you, drop, pick you up, bring you to the facility, and then drop you back off. And they're running on a loop. So book your hotel room through our website. Just about every hotel in Atlanta is part of this block. So.
Outstanding. And wear those Hokas. There'll be lots of walking or whatever your specialty athletic shoe of choice is. All right. So what's one great tip for returning attendees, Daniel? And they may be watching us or listening to us. They've been to MODEX 5 times. And all of us, sometimes when we've done something once or 5 times or 10 times, you know, we tend to assume we know it all. But what's one thing to challenge that assumption for returning MODEX attendees, Daniel?
The main thing I would say is this. We try to improve it every year. I don't know if you can see that. Use it. We try to improve it every year. We do improve it every year. It's becoming more user-friendly. You're able to use, you know, to schedule, and there's so many things on it that will help your journey through MODEX. But I think most attendees that are returning and are loyal attendees and have experienced and know how to best take advantage of this opportunity, this platform, they preset appointments. They make appointments before they get to the show. A lot of them do it on Thursday. Thursday's a little bit slower. So a lot of them make their appointments on Thursday so they're not fighting through the, you know, like a fish swimming upstream through the crowd. Make your appointments and use the mobile app to take advantage of, you know, these exhibitors are busy. So if you preset these appointments, then you have a much better chance of having, you know, a more exclusive opportunity to understand what their solutions are.
Yes. I'll add one there, and we can couch this in my next question to you as we start to wrap here. Common mistakes to avoid. A couple of them, folks. I'm trying to get better at this. You know, we did, I think, 13 events, conferences, shows last year, and most of those, unfortunately, I was in registration line to get my badge the morning of the first day. I'm trying to avoid that all year long in 2026 and getting there the day before in the kind of the pre-show session, avoid the lines, get the badge. And that makes day one, official day one, so much easier. So don't do that. Get your badge ahead of time. And secondly, if you want to bring your kids out, right? Awareness piece. It's really important. 16 years old is the requirement to get in, Daniel. Is that right?
That's correct for many reasons. There's crazy stuff going on that show floor. A lot of danger for younger kids.
Right. But, and I bring that up because my oldest is 16 now, and I want to bring Brantley out so she can kind of have that first incredible experience at MODEX. So anyway, if you got younger kids and you think kind of like I'm thinking, they got to be 16. So I'd hate for you to get down there with all the best of intentions. And of course, that's an important safety rule.
One thing you said about getting your badge also, we have many registration areas around the city and some of the hotels you can pick up your badge. And then there's three locations on site that you can pick up your badge in each hall. Pre-register. Don't go on site and register. Pre-register and you should be able to go right through a line.
Oh, man, that makes life a lot easier. Daniel, before I ask how folks can connect with you and MODEX and MHI, the whole family, any other common mistake to avoid you want to share with folks out there?
I talked a lot about the make a schedule, plan it. But also what's important is serendipity, like have a schedule, but also set aside some time to just walk around. You will see something. You will run into somebody. You will find some unique technology or opportunity or product or service that you never thought existed, that you never thought you would have ever seen in your entire life. So take a moment to just lollygag around the show floor and check it out without having a schedule. And I hate that I've reinforced or emphasized so much having a schedule, because that serendipity is just so important, because I think trade shows are really also not just, you know, business, 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 but there's the sight, the sound, the smell, the feel. There's some kind of magic about a trade show where if you're just kind of walking around, something good will happen.
Daniel, I do it a lot because we're kind of talking out both sides of our mouth, but sometimes you got to, right?
Yeah.
And I love how you put it. Plan your day. You know, folks, I'm bad about it sometimes. I'm bad about meandering the whole time outside of the interviews we do. But plan your day. Look at who's exhibiting. Look who's speaking. Take your top three every day, right? Plan it. But to Daniel's point and the other side of our mouth, meandering, lollygagging, creating our own luck. I'm a big believer that some of the best things that's happened in my life is from the serendipity quotient. So definitely efficient meandering, we'll call it, Daniel. So do both, yes. Folks. Do both. So Daniel, almost 40,000 people coming to Atlanta for MODEX 2026. And then I want to say at ProMat last year, we were there for a day or two. Y'all had close to 50,000, if I'm not mistaken, Daniel.
That's correct. The ProMat show is it's older. It's a little bit bigger. The Chicagoland area brings a lot of manufacturing interest into McCormick Center. And look, Atlanta's my home. I love it more than anywhere else. I mean, I'm including Paris and London and,
wow,
and Seoul. Atlanta's the greatest city in the world. But Chicago's facility is a little bit bigger. I'm not saying it's better, but it's just a little bit bigger. So ProMat's a little bit bigger. But MODEX has some unique characteristics. First of all, you see a lot more Southern hospitality. And also it's laid out in a really nice format where it's a lot of walking, but it's efficient walking.
Right. That's right. So folks, mark your calendar. First MODEX, again, April 13th through the 16th, 2026, Georgia World Congress Center, close to 40,000. Should be the biggest MODEX ever, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it will be.
And then ProMat, which has also been on quite a run here,
yes.
April 19th through the 21st, 2027 in Chicago, Daniel. And I want to say, what's the center?
McCormick Place. It's the center in Chicago. It's the largest in the country, although Las Vegas is going through a little bit of a reno. And so Las Vegas and Chicago compete with each other as the largest. In fact, Atlanta is the fourth largest, but who cares about that except for trade show nerds like me. One interesting thing about ProMat, though, is we're going to a three-day show. 4 days, asking our exhibitors to be so engaged for 4 days. We have determined, based on our outreach and our research, that 3 days is sufficient. It's a lot to do in 3 days. That's when you really need to plan, is when it goes to 3 days. But
well, I look forward to learning more about that change. I enjoyed ProMat last year. I missed MODEX the last time y'all were in town. I can't wait to get back. We're going to be there. This is going to be our biggest presence, the Supply Chain Now team, at MODEX in years, folks. We're going to be part of Podcast Row, I think we're calling it. Our friends from Kevin and the new warehouse will be there. Many, many others. Come say hello if you see us. But I want to reconfirm those dates again. Again, April 13th through the 16th for MODEX in Atlanta. And then ProMat in 2027, April 19th through the 21st. Mark your calendar. And Daniel, if folks want to learn more about any of the programming that MHI offers, and if folks want to connect with you, what would be your advice there?
I think that if you want information on MODEX, the best way to do it is www.modexshow.com. And MHI.org is where you can find just boundless amounts of information on the logistics, material handling, supply chain industry. I'm talking just reams and reams of it. Membership information, if that's interesting. But there's also a lot of value add data and information on there that doesn't cost anything. So we're a non-for-profit. We want to grow the business through the association and through our friends and colleagues and members. We offer those platforms to do so. And you can actually get in touch with me through the modexshow.com website. It's dmckinnon@mhi.org is my email address.
That's bold. That is bold. Folks, we've been talking to our longtime friend, wonderful guest, one of the leadership team members responsible for some of the most popular and populated industry events, global supply chain trade show events around, Daniel McKinnon, Chief Exhibitions Officer with MHI. And by the way, Daniel, old Jim Gaffigan, it might behoove him to bring you up and let you do 10 minutes or so as part of his overall segment. I've enjoyed your sense of humor here today.
I'm bringing him up to do 10 minutes.
Well, Daniel, always a pleasure. We're going to see you in Atlanta, your hometown, and we look forward to a very successful show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
You bet. All right, folks, to our beloved SCN Global fam, hope you enjoyed this conversation. I love diving a little deeper sometimes into some of the most venerable trade shows around that impact our industry and give you the opportunities, not only as we're talking, to have a planned, valuable experience, but have also an unplanned, valuable experience. You got both here. You can tune in and learn more about MODEX 2026 at modexshow.com. And we hope to see you in Atlanta in April. And again, come stop by and say hello as we're conducting interviews, I think three straight days, their own Podcast Row. So with all that said, folks, hope to see you at MODEX. But more importantly, take one thing you heard here from Daniel, take action with it, do something with it, whether you're planning MODEX or planning something much bigger and broader, something in your organization. This is a terrific opportunity to bring the team out and help them connect with industry leaders and innovations from around the globe. ModexShow.com. More importantly, folks, on behalf of the whole team here at Supply Chain Now, Scott Luden challenges you, do good, give forward, be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Join the Supply Chain Now community for more supply chain perspectives, news, and innovation. Check out supplychainnow.com, subscribe to Supply Chain Now on YouTube, and follow and listen to Supply Chain Now wherever you get your podcasts.